This morning we have a letter from a lady with a very serious problem. She writes, "I am a Christian woman. My husband is unsaved. His interests and mine are quite diverse. I try to witness to him, but he tells me that religion is not for him. More and more, we are drifting apart. What can I do?" Because this situation is so common and so important, I want to consider her problem for more than one broadcast. Today we'll begin, and we'll continue this subject over some broadcasts to come. The first thing I want to note in this letter is that the writer says, "What can I do?" I'm glad to hear her talking that way, because so often Christian women put all of the onus, all of the responsibility for the problems in their marriage with unsaved husbands upon their husband. And they think if only he were saved, then everything would be all right. And until he is saved, nothing can be done. This is quite wrong, and I'm glad to see that she does not share that very wrong attitude. Instead, she asks, what can she, as a Christian, do? And of course, that's exactly what I want to do in these next few broadcasts, to talk to Christian women about what they can do in their homes about this problem, to do something that will please God and that may even lead to the conversion of their husbands. So that's where the focus will be today and in the few broadcasts ahead in which we take up this subject, namely upon the responsibility of the Christian wife who is married to a non-Christian husband. Now let's consider how the marriage got to be that way in the first place. I think that's where we must begin, because there are two different circumstances here. First, it may be that both parties, when they were married, were unbelievers. In that case, the wife has come to know Christ as her Savior at a subsequent time to the marriage. That means that the husband didn't bargain for marrying a Christian. He may be very upset that his wife has become a Christian and her whole lifestyle has begun to change, with her interests no longer the same as his. This presents one kind of problem, and the wife should reckon with that fact. On the other hand, it may be that the wife was a Christian when she married an unsaved husband and thereby sinned against God in disobeying his word, in which he tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in 1 Corinthians 6. And so if she did not marry, as Paul says, only in the Lord, but married outside of the family of God and the Lord's people, she has brought this suffering and this heartache upon herself by her rebellion against God and his word. In that case, of course, what she needs to do to begin with, if she has not already done so, is to repent of that sin and to seek God's forgiveness for it. And I would say even to repent of that sin toward her husband and seek his forgiveness, because very much like Jonah, she is a Jonah in his boat. The heartache, the suffering, the trial, the difficulties that have come to their marriage may very well be the chastening of God upon a believer in the midst of a home in which there are unbelievers, in which God is trying to teach her that she has sinned against him and that she needs to come back to him in repentance. And in the meanwhile, she's bringing heartache and trouble to her husband as well. Maybe some of the storms in the sea, maybe some of the difficulties that are tossing that marriage about are strictly because she has never repented of her own sin. Repentance, of course, means to change your mind in such a way about something that you did that was sinful toward God, to so change your mind as the Word of God gets to you and as your conscience begins to work on you on the basis of that Word, to so change your mind that you're willing to tell God that you're sorry and seek His forgiveness and you're willing to be different in the future. All right, that's where it has to begin. But is there any hope for a change in the situation in that home? I want to hold forth the greatest sort of hope today. I want you to see what the Scriptures have to say about this matter. In 1 Peter 3, verse 1, we read these words, You wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. You notice, Peter says, you wives, even if you have a husband who is disobedient to the scriptures, disobedient to the word, have the possibility of winning that husband to Jesus Christ without a word. Now, in the King James, the distinction between the word and a word is obscured. But in the New American Standard Version, which I am reading, that distinction is clearly brought to the surface. What he is saying is not that a husband will be won to Christ apart from the scriptures and the teaching of the scriptures, but rather that the husband will be won to Christ without the wife nagging and preaching at her husband all the time. You know, there are a lot of wives who try to witness to their husbands, but the failure in winning their husbands to Christ lies right there. It lies in the fact that these wives spend day and night trying to win that husband to Christ by their words. And when he doesn't come, they pile on more words. And when he refuses to see the truth, they just intensify the witness until finally the husband considers himself nagged to death by the gospel. And the more that he sees his wife, the less he enjoys seeing his wife. The more that he is with her, the less he enjoys listening to what she has to say. So the more he withdraws from her. We had one woman who came for counseling who turned on the radio. Every time her husband came home, she turned on Christian broadcasts much louder than she had them before, and she turned them on and kept them blaring in his ears day and night. No wonder that man didn't want to come to Jesus Christ when she was trying this method of evangelism with him. No, it's not by nagging in all of its various forms. It's not by laying pamphlets and tracts and books and Bibles all over the house so that her husband has to rustle through the living room through tracts and pamphlets as if he were walking through the fall leaves. It's not that at all. But what is it that if the husband is going to be won to Christ and his wife is going to be the means that God will use in bringing that gospel message to him, what is it that will win that husband? What will set the ground for an effective witness about the gospel of Christ, Peter says, is the wife's behavior, not her words first and foremost, but her behavior first and foremost, as she begins to become what Jesus Christ says she ought to be. This, and this above everything else, will attract her husband to her. This is what her husband needs to see and experience, the behavior of a wife that really shows that Jesus Christ has made a difference in her life. We'll talk more about that behavior and what you can do to become that kind of wife who can win your husband on the next broadcast. Lord, help wives today not only to have hope as they seek to win their husbands, but to know that it is not by nagging them with the gospel, but by winning them with the effects of the gospel in their lives, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.